Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity that we have as your people to gather, to be able to worship you. Father, it is well with our souls because of Christ this morning, because of his sacrifice, his death, and his resurrection. Father, we come together today as new creatures in Christ, and we thank you for that hope. Thank you for that great hope that is before us, that we will one day be in your presence. We give you praise. Pray for this message this morning, that you might use it to impact our hearts, to impact our minds, our thinking, Lord, that you would help us in these next few moments. We give it to you. I thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen. In a 1988 survey that was put out by the U.S. News and World Report, discovered that the average American will spend 6 months sitting at stoplights, 8 months opening up junk mail, 1 year looking at misplaced objects, that would be me, 2 years unsuccessfully returning phone calls, 4 years doing housework, 5 years waiting in line, and 6 years eating. I also found in a more recent study put out last year that the average American between the ages of 16 and 24 will spend 3 hours a day on social media, and that the average U.S. adult spends about 40 minutes a day on Facebook. And when we look at those statistics, you can't help but notice that there is more time wasted in minutes than in hours. A bucket with a small hole in the bottom gets just as empty as a bucket that is deliberately kicked over. With so many things grabbing at our attention throughout the week, it's careful. It can be so easy to lose grip on that which truly matters in life. The year 2020, just looking back over the course of this year, it has presented itself with many challenges, to say the least. It has. Throughout the year, God has personally challenged my heart in the area of stewardship. And in fact, there are at least four key principles on stewardship that have challenged my heart, and I'd like to share these with you. The first principle is this: God owns everything, I own nothing. God owns everything, I own nothing. And the sooner we can rest on that first principle, the better it is. That's a hard one to grab hold of. The second principle is this: God entrusts me with everything I have. Everything that I have, God has entrusted me with. The third principle is this: I can either increase or decrease what God has given me. God desires that I would increase what I have. And fourthly, I will be called into account for the management of what God has entrusted me with at any moment. We're accountable to Jesus Christ and will be rewarded as such. But between now and the bema seat of Jesus Christ, where we will be, as believers, rewarded for our good works that we have been given, between now and the rapture of the church, there is a certain amount of time to invest into that which truly matters. There's a verse that has stuck out to me this year, Psalm 90, and it says this in verse 12, "So teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom." May we choose to be wise with the time that God has given us. So we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5. I'd like to ask that you would turn there with me in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to be looking at verses 15 through 17. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17 together. And I'm going to begin by reading verse 15. It says this: "Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Now from this passage, we're going to carefully notice three charges that the Apostle Paul gave that deals with stewardship in the life of the believer. And the first charge that the Apostle Paul gives in this passage, in Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 17, is this: every believer has a choice to make. That is the first charge that he gives. Every believer has a choice to make. And I would like us to see from verse 15 that this is a choice that is contingent upon a decision that we have as believers. The main flow of thought here in this letter begins with who we are in Christ and how we are to live in light of that position. In fact, look with me for a moment at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, you can look there in your Bibles, or you can look up here on the PowerPoint. It says this, "So this I say and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind." The Apostle Paul is making a careful calculation here in the life of the believer that he now has a choice to make in regard to the glory of God. So why does Paul say that we are not to judge unbelievers in 1 Corinthians 5? Well, because unbelievers are enslaved to Satan, to sin, and to death. Believers, we've been liberated. We've been liberated from sin's penalty, from sin's power. We've been liberated from the dominion of Satan, lest we forget our position before we made that decision to trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, we looked at this last week. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, past tense. Before you came to faith in Jesus Christ, there was no spiritual life at all. Now, this thought of choosing to conduct oneself in view of our position in Christ is carried through this letter. In chapter 5, this thought is carried along. I want us to see this. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children." In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 7, it says, "Therefore, do not be partakers with them," the them is the unbelieving world, "in conduct." And finally, in verse 15, we read, "Therefore, be careful how you walk." The flow of thought here in the mind of the Apostle Paul, it deals with our conduct, how we are called to behave as believers. God wants us to understand that wisdom is not dependent upon our social status. It isn't dependent upon our economic status. Wisdom is a choice. It's a choice. And I'm going to add to this that wisdom is a choice for the believer by the grace of God. When we look at what we've been saved from, it is by the grace of God that we have this choice to make. So when we talk about wisdom, what do we mean by wisdom? Well, wisdom is the discernment in how it is that I can apply biblical truth, biblical principles to my life, to my situation. And if we leave here today taking seriously three charges that are found here in this text and are willing to ask ourselves how I can apply these charges to my life, to my situation, followed by some personal adjustments, then what God is saying is He is saying this is wise. This is a wise step forward in your life. Now in verse 15, Paul writes, "Be careful how you walk." I want us to notice that in verse 15. "Therefore, be careful how you walk." When COVID-19 came around the corner and it arrived on the horizon, businesses closed, churches sought to minister to congregations through online resources, and new updates were being given almost on a daily basis. And what that did was it forced in leadership positions, it forced those who were in leadership positions to carefully consider how and when to open things back up. Pastor Brad and I, we constantly were asking ourselves a couple of questions. What about this? How about that? What's this going to look like? What's this going to look like as we move forward? We were getting phone calls from churches all around, wondering what we were doing, why we were doing what we were doing, why we were taking the steps that we were taking. And Paul says we need to be careful how we walk. And that same idea is found right here in this verse. You need to be careful. You need to carefully consider and contemplate your present circumstances as you move forward in life. Be careful how you walk, how you conduct yourself, how you will move forward with Christ and with others. Be careful. And by the way, I just want to say this too, in view of the COVID-19 situation, I need to say thank you for your prayers. It's been a difficult year, many of you have been praying, and I give you praise. I thank you for that. Thank you for your prayers, and we need wisdom as we move forward. I just want to say thank you for those of you who've been praying. That leads us into our second charge that we see here in this text. And what will happen here when we look at that first charge and the second charge is that these two charges are going to connect, okay? The second charge is this. Every believer has a chance to invest. Now, this is what got me. Verse 16, it says, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So what? So what are we to do? Well, we're to be careful how we walk. In view of the context, we're to be careful. We are to consider our conduct, and we have a choice to make. How? By making the most of our time. God gives to us a chance to invest into the eternal. And Paul writes here in verse 16, he says, making the most of your time. So when COVID-19 hit, collectively as a whole, our discretionary time either increased or it decreased, right? Talking with pastors and working our way through the chaos of COVID, our discretionary time as pastors shrunk significantly. For many of you, you were laid off of work or couldn't go to work. And so your discretionary time increased. There's a lot that the Bible says about time, and I want us to see three main Greek words that are used for time in the New Testament this morning. And the first main Greek word for time that we find in the New Testament is chronos. It is chronos, and we find this Greek word in Luke chapter 1, verse 57, where Elizabeth gives birth to John the Baptist. In Luke chapter 1, verse 57, it says this, now the time, chronos, there in the Greek, had come for Elizabeth to give birth to a son. And in the sense in which chronos is being used here, it describes a point of time consisting of an occasion for some event or activity. So when you think of chronos, the Greek word chronos, think of your wristwatch. All right, think of your wristwatch. There is value to being on time. I was here a bit early this morning. No one came in at 5 o'clock in the morning. No one came into this church at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock. In fact, most of you were here 10:45. Why? Because there was value to coming in here on time. We start at 11 o'clock. There's value to being on time. So when you think of chronos, think of your wristwatch. The second main Greek word for time that we find in the New Testament is this. It is holdra. And this Greek word for time is found in John 16, where Jesus predicts his death and his resurrection. While he was with his disciples, he accurately explained that they would go through a season of grief after his death, and the follow-up season would then be great joy because of his resurrection and the sending of his Spirit in Acts 2. But the birth of the church. So Jesus illustrated those future events with his disciples by using an illustration of a pregnant woman who goes into labor, is in great pain, and is overwhelmed by joy. And we find this, the second main Greek word for time, holdra, here in John chapter 16, verse 21. Whenever a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour, holdra, has come. So we've got chronos there, and we've got holdra. Now, the Greek word holdra carries the idea of a season. So where chronos delivers on a fixed period of time, holdra gives us a greater picture. And if you're like me, I love word pictures. And maybe you do too. So again, chronos, you're thinking of the wristwatch. Holdra, think of your calendar. Okay, think of your calendar. Holdra is the watch and holdra, excuse me, chronos is the watch, holdra is the calendar. This is how we measure time in America. This is how I measure my time more often than not. I'm sure it's how you measure your time as well. It doesn't take much for the calendar to fill up in a year, right? But there is also, in the middle of it, this demand to be looking at our wristwatch, to know what time it is in a day. Now, what has challenged my heart over the course of this year has been this passage of Scripture. The Apostle Paul, he doesn't use time in the sense of that which we think of time here. Paul doesn't use chronos here for time or holdra. He uses another Greek word for time in Ephesians 5:16. And that Greek word that Paul uses brings us right into the third main Greek word for time that we find in the New Testament. And that word is kairos. So Paul uses kairos here. Kairos is what we find in verse 16, making the most of your time. And he uses it to describe an important moment or a window of opportunity. Now, track with me here. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says this, for while we were still helpless, at the right time, Kairos, Jesus Christ, died for the ungodly. This is a very specific moment in time that we have that comes into our lives and then it vanishes away. You cannot retrieve it once it is gone. You cannot manipulate it to stay longer than it should. It is here today. It is gone tomorrow. Kairos can either be utilized for the glory of God or it can be wasted away. And here is the catch. We as believers have an amazing opportunity today to invest into this time that God has granted to us. Kairos. In fact, in the mind of God, if you are wise, you will not only pay attention to your watches, you will not only pay attention to your calendar, but you will pay attention to those moments of opportunity that come into your life that you can utilize for the glory of God, Kairos. Now, if Jesus Christ at the right time would give his life for sinners such as ourselves, then it is our privilege to look for those moments of opportunity in order to turn them over for the glory of God, to invest in those moments. Well, under the stay-at-home order this year, I used some of my discretionary time, and I went through our sermons and our messages that we've uploaded to Sermon Audio since 2012. We've got a church app that you can go to, and I was able to organize those messages so that you can go on, you can look at those book studies, and they're easy to get to. What has blessed me in that was that I was reminded through the task of the ministry of the Word here in this place. God's work in this area through this local church, it has morphed and it has changed over the course of time. In every moment of this ministry, people have served, have given financially, have sacrificially given of their own discretionary time to the work of the ministry in some capacity and have served with their gifts. There is in this congregation many who have invested into Kairos throughout the year. Ministry, wouldn't you say, it looks different today than it did 7 years ago, 6 years ago, 5 years ago. And those windows of opportunity to invest into God's work in this area through this local church have come and they've gone. And we can't get those moments back. But for those of you who have invested into God's work through the years, that investment, I just want to remind us, it is an eternal investment. It is an eternal investment that you've made. There is reward there for you. And by the grace of God, he's provided for us this day, this moment, this window of opportunity. And my question for us this morning, what will we do with it? What will we do with Kairos? What will we do with those opportunities that God gives to us? How will we give? How will we serve? How will we invest today? Take this opportunity today to invest into that which is eternal. God has given us this wonderful opportunity, and we need to, as verse 16 says, because the days are evil. Days are evil. I've had a number of people ask me, are we closer to the end times? Or others will say, it sure seems as though Jesus Christ is going to be coming this week. It may be this week. I know this. We are a lot closer today than we were last week. The days are evil. For such a time as this, we need to take opportunity with Kairos, with that time that God gives to us, which brings to us this third charge. Every believer has a challenge to pursue, verse 17. A challenge to pursue. Verse 17 says, so then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And to understand here in verse 17 means to clearly perceive. If you get a pesky rabbit eating at your garden, you might set a trap in order to snare it, to catch it, in hopes that the rabbit will not perceive clearly the trap that you've set. So why are we called here to perceive clearly the will of God? Because, as the text tells us, the days are evil. Our spiritual enemy has set up snares in our lives, and we will not be able to see clearly if we are out of fellowship with God and out of his word. And may I suggest to us today that I believe that one of the great sins of the 21st century in the church overall in America is an unwillingness to make oneself accountable to leadership in the local church, and an unwillingness to deal with the more uncomfortable passages of Scripture that deal with sin. Brothers and sisters, we need to be in the Word of God so that we can clearly perceive God's will, so that we can spot the spiritual snares that have been laid out for us, because these days are evil. They're evil. Furthermore, in connection to a type of stewardship that is pleasing to God, we will make great use of kairos, of that specific time mentioned in verse 16, for those moments of opportunity that God grants to us when we can clearly perceive and understand the direction that the Lord gives to us on a daily basis. Don't bog yourself down with shame. Don't bog yourself down with regret when it comes to this wonderful moment, this wonderful opportunity that you have to invest into this time that God has given you, that He has given me. The challenge in relation to stewardship from this verse demands that we be consistent, perceptive, and diligent in our spiritual walk with Jesus Christ. I love what William MacDonald said. He says, "All time spent out of fellowship with God is time forever wasted." All time spent out of fellowship with God is time forever wasted. So what about your discretionary time or your time off? For most of us, our spiritual lives and our walk with Jesus Christ is cultivated within that discretionary time. Time that is set aside apart from work, apart from family, apart from personal hobbies. Time that is set aside for your relationship with Christ. Believer, if you do not invest some of your discretionary time into your relationship with Jesus Christ, then you will not be able to perceive clearly or understand God's will that He that has been revealed to us through His Word. Something when it comes to discretionary time or just our own time is that it reveals our value system. What do you value? In the mind of God, according to this passage, we are foolish if we do not value God's work. We are foolish if we do not value His Word, and we are foolish if we do not value His church. We only have so much time in a week. If we work a job, take care of our bodies, are raising kids, if we keep up on home projects and faithfully manage all other responsibilities that God has entrusted us with, then for the most part, our discretionary time is very limited. And if your discretionary time is limited, then what you do with that discretionary time is very important. It's very important. So be careful to clearly perceive God's will, to understand His ways for your life. That is the challenge. Don't be foolish. Be wise. Invest yourself into the things that matter for Christ. In fact, I want to close out our time by reflecting on this great charge. Let us take advantage of every opportunity that has been entrusted to us by God. Maybe you're here today, and as you look back on your life, maybe there is some regret for missed opportunities that have come and gone, that you had been granted, and now those opportunities are out of your grasp, and you can't get those moments back. Maybe there is some regret for that. The good news is found here in verse 16. Look with me, verse 16. First word there is making. Making is in the present tense, the most of your time, because the days are evil. Listen, if you're walking with Christ, then He will give you moments of opportunity this week to invest into the things that truly matter for God. I'm reminded of Ephesians 2:10. Many of you know it. It's a great reminder for us today. "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." What should be examined in all of this is the use of that time that God gives. Are we using those moments of opportunity that God entrusts us with to further bring glory to His name? Furthermore, our use of discretionary time reveals our value system. Do we value our relationship to God through Christ? Do we value His Word? And do we value His church? If we can't find the time, we need to make the time. We need to make those adjustments, because if we choose to go down a path that is void of God's input through His Word and through His people, then we are living foolishly, and it's bad stewardship. Remember, every believer has a choice to make, a choice to be wise or to live foolishly. Every believer has a chance to invest, a chance to invest into the things that matter for God. and every believer has a challenge to pursue by making personal adjustments with how it is that we spend our time, our discretionary time. So let us take advantage of every opportunity that has been entrusted to us by God. Maybe you're here today or you're listening online and you're not sure about your relationship to God. You don't know where you will go to spend eternity. Well, I want to go back to Romans chapter 5, verse 6 just for a moment. In Romans chapter 5, verse 6, we touched on it earlier. It says, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." We were helpless in and of ourselves to be right with God. We were absolutely helpless. Are you awake now? I am. We were helpless, absolutely helpless. There was nothing that we could have done to make ourselves right with God. There was no amount of work that I could do. I couldn't be right with God based off of baptism. I couldn't be right with God based off of some good work, name it. We were helpless, according to this verse. But at the right time, God saw our need. He saw that we were helpless, so he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to come into this world to live a perfect life, to die on the cross, to resurrect again from the dead. And listen, he offers new life to any who believe in him. And believers, we are living in a divisive time right now. Let us keep our minds and our focus on this, on the gospel. It's about the gospel. We want to see this culture, we want to see this world turned upside down for Christ. It's about the gospel and making the use of that discretionary time, making that use out of Kairos to share with others Jesus Christ. That is our challenge in a time such as this. Let me close in a word of prayer, and then I'm going to ask that you let me get to the back, and then you'll be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for that time that you entrust us with. Thank you for that blessing. Thank you that we have, as your people, the opportunity to invest into that which is eternal. That is a huge privilege. It is a privilege to know you, Lord. It is a privilege to serve you. I pray that in this week to come, we will take advantage of, we will be looking for those opportunities to be able to share the love of Christ with those who need him. Father, I pray that for each one of us, you would give us boldness and opportunity in doing so. Lord, if any here today who may be listening, maybe in the sanctuary or maybe listening online who don't know Christ, I pray that they would make a decision today to trust in Jesus Christ alone, who alone can save them from their sin. Father, and we would rejoice with them if they would make that decision. Help us, Father, to be good stewards of the time that you've given us in the week to come. In your name we pray.